Here.
So can you take it?
I'm involved in the West in presenting spirituality to Western people.
You're involved, especially
in these days, trying to yoga community, people with interest for meditation and self-development.
Yes.
And I have a question. If we can tell, please, like we have in Bhakti Yoga process, these different levels of development from Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Asakti, which
you teach that to the people.
No, I'm saying that we have that.
We have
in Gaudiya,
yeah,
Vaishnava
tradition.
In yoga, there is eightfold yoga.
Ekagrata and dharana and dhyana and
pratyahara. So there's all these levels. So how they are in this two process? This was same question. I can just
play back the tape. I explain this whole thing to her. I gave you a copy of it.
It was same questions. So I was really wanting to know
what are the questions that people are asking, and then I can, or that is the one.
I would like to know that's my question, but if you already replied it, I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I can hear it. Okay, so my question
is...
So what is it?
Here's perfume.
Oh, thank you.
Here's a perfume.
So my question was parallel in this. Just
give me one question, I'll try to answer it. I got the theme, I have the subject.
Okay.
What do you want to know? What's your question?
My question is, in the stages, which are...
I know the other stages. How do you equate that?
How
to
they are?
How do you equate that to bhakti?
How they are? They stages, like from us from yama niyama.
I used to do yoga. I know.
Yeah. Okay. How they are with process in bhakti? How they are relevant?
Yeah. First of all, there's the sadhya.
I'm clearing my question or not? I can express it more clearly.
I often discuss this topic. Yeah. Thank you. The devotee is asking a question. When teaching students that are primarily oriented towards yoga and interested in bhakti, but their primary interest is yoga, meditation, asana, self-development, self-improvement, and whatever. And maybe they're not purely on a personal theistic concept of God or the blue boy Krishna that we want to run behind and love. They're not ready for that. But they're interested in bhakti. You want to find out what is in it. Is it scientific? Is it congruous? Is it applicable? Is it actually yoga? They're saying that we're Ashtanga yogis or we're mystic yogis or Ashtanga. It's called Ashtanga yogi. Raj yogi, whatever. Different branches, different names they may have. But the objective, what is the objective? We have to compare. What is, like we say, what is your goal in life? My goal is making money and enjoying with my family. Oh, my goal is too, you know. So everyone has their goal. So what is the objective? It's called the sadhana and the sadhya. We do a particular sadhana to attain a sadhya. So in the yoga path, generally the sadhya is impersonal. Merging with white light, consciousness, powers, peace, many things which you know about. So that is the objective. So that would be what we call the samadhi stage, the goal, the param gati. We can say samadhi means param gati, the goal, the objective, the param gati, the samadhi. For them, samadhi means to become anand, become blissful. But for us, samadhi means to taste the bliss. My Gurudev made a nice analogy yesterday. He was talking about Ras Lila and Ras Soli. And he said the Mayavadis, the Advaitins, and Mayavadis, the yogis, the Gyan yogis, they're doing yoga and they want to merge, the actual yogis from the Vedic style yogis, Gyan yogis, following the Ashtanga system of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and doing the various asanas and pranayama and dharana and pratyahara, all these things. Dhyan, Dhruvana, Smriti, Samadhi, they their goal is eternal bliss, is Brahmanand. Brahmanand, the bliss. They want the bliss. I want to experience the bliss. The peace, the bliss. Peace, bliss, serenity, fulfillment eternally. They want to become Anand. He says, you become one with the bliss. You become one with consciousness. Brahma Sayuja Mukti. Sayuja, you become one with the Brahman. So the Brahman is this Brahmanand. It's very blissful. It's very peaceful. It's very satisfying. So he said their goal is they want to become Anand. But our goal in bhakti, we want swaranam, Anand swaranam. He said it's, and then he made, because, you know, it's UP and many Hindi, was in Hindi lecture. And then the people in the audience, there are many people there locally, Rishabhasis and sadhus and sants, and then people from Delhi and some Babaji's, Bengalis who know Hindi, etc. So he said it's like rubbery. The Advaitins, the yogis, Gyan yogis, they want to become rubbery. They want to become rubbery, but we want to taste rubbery. He says, what joy, what pleasure is there becoming rubbery? You just, okay, I'm rubbery, eternally I'm rubbery, but you don't, and you're feeling happy with that, but you don't realize how much bliss there is. You don't realize and don't understand how much bliss there is in eating rubbery and tasting rubbery. It's, you know, smooth and slippery and cool, and it can be mixed with rose water or camphor or kapoor or many different ways, and just as it is or whatever. And it's so nice and creamy and sweet and whatever. So he said, we want rasa swaran. They have, there's no ras there. There's no. So that first the sadhya, their samadhi is to be merged. You know, the samadhi is to be the definition by yoga shastras is to be totally, you know, fixed. You know, the individual consciousness becomes one with the absolute consciousness, and that's experience of the pure light. And there's all the different explanations of it. So their goal means samadhi. Samadhi ultimately means union. You become the Brahman, or you become God, or you become Atman. So the goal is union. So yujya means union. The two become one. The individual consciousness loses its identity, individuality, when it merges with the totality of consciousness. This is the goal of Gyan Yoga, actual real yoga. So our bhakti, our samadhi, is also union. Union with the absolute, but union with the personal absolute. As a man and woman are two bodies and two hearts, the ideal union is two bodies, two hearts, two minds, two goals, two purposes, two lives, everything becoming one in the sacred act of loving communion. This is man, woman, this union. So this, what do you call it? Mitun. So our goal of bhakti is union. The Atma attains union with the Paramatma. But in our goal, the Atma is personal consciousness with personal form, and Krishna is personal consciousness and personal form, and we will unite with him, and the connecting bridge, or the connecting, how we will unite is on the basis of love and on the basis of service, because it's emerging a personal consciousness with personal consciousness. This is bhakti. That's bhakti samadhi, the merging of personal consciousness with this minute anu-chit with vibhu-chit. Anu-chit, anu means atomic, chit means consciousness, chit. And vibhu means great or grand or large. It's a merging of anu-chit with vibhu-chit. So the minute one individual personal consciousness, the jivatma, the bhakti yogi, he will merge with the paramatma who appears Radha and Krishna. He will appear with the vibhu-chit, the great unlimited consciousness, and that merging will be accomplished by bhakti, by the path of love, and by the path of surrender, and by the path of service. So when we merge, we lose our identity. We lose our identity in Krishna, but we lose our identity. I belong to Krishna. Krishna is mine. I'm Mamata. I belong to Krishna, and Krishna is mine. We are one. Radharani, they are one. Like they say in the, they say ekatma dui deha in marriage, Hindi marriage. We are one soul in two bodies. So that's what happens. So samadhi and bhakti, the goal of our bhakti is to merge our consciousness with Krishna, and that's expressed by doing whatever he wants and pleasing him and however he wants and serving him in unlimited ways. And when we're serving him, that means we're loving him. When we're loving, and our love is all the time. So it's endless love. It never ends. We're serving him at every moment because our body is transcendental. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't get sleepy. It's 24/7. So it's an eternal merging of our loving hearts with Krishna's loving hearts. We merge our desires with his, and our desire becomes his desire because our only desire is to please Krishna. Just like you have desires, and your desires are to please me. You have many desires. For who? For you. Your desires, you have desires to please. You don't have desires to please me. You have desires to please. I'm eating this to please me. I'm dressing like this to please me. I'm going here to please me. So this is, so God, his desires are to please himself. So the devotee, he becomes one with those desires, so he's one with Krishna. You follow? Like you say, I want all these things. I want all those things too. So I'm still an individual. So I want to eat all these foods. Okay, I'll cook them and serve them to you. Maybe I don't even want to eat these things. But you want to eat these things? Okay, now I'll eat what you eat. So now I'm one with your desire, but I'm separate from you. I'm one, but I'm separate. So a chintya beta tattva, simultaneously one with God, but separate. That is our philosophy of bhakti. A chintya, inconceivable, but rational and reasonable also, by use of analogy or by use of common sense. Or just this is actually the real understanding of love. So samadhi, bhakti, samadhi means pure love. And love means two. Merging means one. That's the difference. You're loving one, and your goal is one, and you will become one. But we're loving two. Our goal is to be one, two, and one and two. We're one in desire, one in heart. Like Radharani, what is Radharani? What are the mantras of Radharani? Radharani's mantras, they're the shadows of Radharani. They're one in our bodies. Our bodies look just like Radharani, practically, not as beautiful, not as old. They're only, just young girls. They're only 12. Radharani's fully grown up, 15. They're just blooming youth. It's called Vyasandhi. Vyasandhi means the juncture of girlhood and ladyhood or whatever. Girl and woman. Very tantalizing, exciting, vivacious age. Sandhya. Vyasandhya. So this is the first you have to establish the similarity and differences of the goal of bhakti and yoga, which I did to some extent. Because the goal is the same. Samadhi, we have our samadhi. Their definition of samadhi is oneness and full fixation on one point or one reality, one consciousness. So is ours. We're fully fixed on the heart of Krishna. What do you want now? What do you need now? What song do you want to hear now? What food do you want to eat now? What dance do you want to do? What play do you want to do? What do you want to do? Our mind is this way. Say, what do you want to do now? I want to do this. I want to do that. So the mind is like the devotee. and then the desiring agent is your self. And the mind is saying, okay, let's figure it out. So now, that's the sadhya, that's the goal of yoga. They're the same with some slight tweaking difference. Then you start off, the first point is you start off with asana. The beginning of yoga is asana. So asana means establishing a meditation place. Asana means foundation. Asana has many meanings. The meaning of the word asana has many meanings. The simplistic meaning is you establish a seat. Yeah, it's called yoga. In higher circles, it's called fixing your... Asana means fixing your seat, fixing your position. So asana means... It's a very long discussion. It can be... I can go on along since... I don't mind. I rather like this subject. as I had some knowledge and experience, you know, of it. Because I started doing Raj Yoga when I was 14, so I know something. I had some teachers from India, gurus, Swami Sachidananda. He may even be alive still. Maybe he'll be about 90 or so, 95. He's about 50 and, oh, yeah, he'll be about 90. Thin and long hair. Swami Sachidananda. I think he had, I forget now, it's been a long time. At any rate, so asan means to establish the foundation, the place where I will do yoga. Yoga means ultimate linking, joining, the connection, reconnection, the place where I will get connected with the Absolute. So I have to establish, this is the place where I will connect with the Absolute. That's called asan. And for yogis, it's a fixed asan. It's, you have to fix the place. They orient the asan according to direction, which way they face, which direction they are, you know, direction, and location of asan includes location. Asan includes direction. Asan includes dravya. Dravya means the articles that make the asan. Asan means the intent. You establish the intention of the asan. What do you want to do in this asan? Because it's a place of yoga, so that's a whole other mental establishment of the asan. That on this asan, I will do this yoga. In yoga, I'll get to it. I'll bring it to the point. And I will do this. I will meditate. I will chant these mantras, and I will meditate, and to attain this goal. It's called asan stapana. To establish the asan, even there's a mudra and everything with your hand, you do. So it's quite a technical thing. The first layer of the asan is deerskin. Then the second, the first layer is deerskin, and then kusa grass, and then wool or silk or cotton. Not cotton. Cotton is contaminated. Wool or silk. To make it a little more comfortable. So the deer skin keeps the snakes. The snakes are repelled by the hair, when they come over the hair. And the kusik grass, the fragrance keeps the tigers away. So there's a purpose. So that's probably, in yoga, so that's asan. You have to establish the place, asan. And so establishing a place for meditation. Now in physical asans, then the asan becomes a yoga mat, what they call a yoga mat. It's a piece of foam like this or whatever, and it's usually not natural at all. It's some, you know, foam to keep your back from breaking on the cement floor of the yoga studio or your apartment, and you do your asans. Because the whole idea of those physical asans is to adjust the chakras and to adjust the nerve energy and to adjust everything. So, because the asan leads to pranayama, right? Second stage, am I right? Asan, pranayama. So the purpose of asan, establishing correct asan, everything is correct. If you do everything correct on the asan level, asan is very important. So asan for me is seat. For bhakti yogis, the asan is our seat. Like we say, sing asan, asan. For them, it's the yoga mat. because the whole idea of doing physical asans, Surya Namaskar and Halasan and all these things, and Sarvanga Asan and Halasan and Matsyasan, all these things. I do every day also yoga, by the way. These things, this type of yoga, and other yoga. But the purpose of asan is so we can do pranayama. So we sit on asan and start chanting, and if we're absorbed in chanting, pranayama goes automatically. But I'll get all to that. Anyway, it's a very long discussion I can give. So now you see bhakti yoga, you know, so you say for us, asan, first you have to, they're saying we're doing asanas. They're doing asanas. Okay? Surya Namaskar Asana and like that. So then you ask, what is the purpose of this asana? It's a yoga ladder. It's a jina, nasani. So the purpose of the yoga ladder is to go from step. The purpose is to go to the objective. The sadhana has seven stages, right? And the objective is the eighth stage. Is it right? Seven, eight, I forget. Asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyanam, juvana, smriti, samadhi. Seven. Is it right?
Maybe first is for yama.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Yama, niyama. Oh, okay. So I forgot about that. That's so automatic because I was just thinking, because in Raja Yoga, mostly it's meditation. Because asanas are just done to get to the meditation state. You know? Anyway, I forgot about that. So there's yama niyama is one. Yama, this one stage. Yeah, do's and don'ts. Do this and don't do that. Yama niyama. And then there's asan. Because the whole purpose of... Okay, let's go back. The first stage is yama niyama, then asan. Right, you're with me? Asan, then pranayam, and then pratyahara, then dharana, dhyanam, juvana smriti, samadhi. Eight steps, as I mentioned 5 minutes ago. There's eight steps. So that each step is to lead one to the second step. You go to first grade to go to second grade, and then you go to high school, then you go to college, and then the graduate school. One, you don't stay in high school forever. You pass out, and you go on. So the stage that continues, asana is throughout, because the goal is meditation. So meditation is done on dhyan asan, meditative asan. This type of asan. So first stage is yama niyama. Yama niyama, why do we do yama niyama? To establish sattva. Sattva gun in our indriya, in our man, in our buddhi, in our body, in our mind, in our intelligence. This is why we do yama niyama, rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. Because now we're full of rajagun and tamagun in our eating, in our thinking, in our sleeping, in our habits, and so many things. So these are preventing us from sattva gun. And without sattva gun, we cannot attain Vishuddha sattva. So to become Brahman realized, you have to first come to Vishuddha sattva. To become Krishna realized, we have to come to Vishuddha sattva. Vishuddha sattva. So that begins with sattva, goodness, balance. We have to balance. So the whole idea of yama niyama is to begin to balance and make the mind sattvic. Because now the mind is rajasic. I want to eat this. I want to eat that. I want to drink this, drink that. That's raja. So you say, no, you're pure vegetarian. The whole Gita says yoga is impossible without being vegetarian. And without being brahmacharya, if you want to get strict. But, every day now it's all man, woman, everything. It says yoga means brahmacharya. It's right there. So go to a lonely place, this is yoga. Gyan yoga is all the same. So the yamas and niyamas... So just to be in a broader modern conception of the basic yoga, what you're teaching, the idea is yama niyama means some regulation, to regulate the life, regulate the lifestyle to bring peace in the body, peace in the indriya. Indriya means body, and the mind and the intelligence. By certain thoughts, certain good thoughts you're given, certain good foods you eat, certain good associations, certain good hygiene and habits you'll live, cleanliness and bathing and so many things. This is part of yama niyama. So that's to purify. That's where you have this nolis and all these kriyas, and all these different kriyas. Kriyas, they have what they call kriya, yoga kriyas. Nolis and purifying the indriyas, purifying the body to create sattva, remove all the blockages. So yamas and niyamas are to remove all obstacles and impediments to meditation from the mind and senses and body. That's the beginning. Mostly now we do asanas, and asanas is to align, to strengthen the spine, to strengthen the back and the spine, especially asanas, you know, the physical asanas, Surya Namaskara, to strengthen the back and balance the body so that the Susumna Nadi is in the base of the spine, it can be open. So all the chakras, the seven chakras, they can be in balance. And then all blockages are moved out of them. Because the meditative state, everything has to, that's why it's very difficult. The yoga path is very, very difficult. And it goes on, and we only have 2 hours, so it's a long talk. But there's us. Everything. Every step that's there. I just give you the principle, and you start thinking about it. Every step that's there in the Gyan Yoga is also in Bhakti Yoga. And the more we follow that system, the more successful we'll be. Also, oh, I'm doing Bhakti Yoga. I don't have to do asanas. I don't have to worry about my health. No, all these things are required. So modern day, where you run outside, you get run over, you get shot, you get kidnapped, you can't run anywhere, there's all dog stool everywhere, and you know, dogs chasing and biting you, and cars and crazy men and women out there with guns and everything. And better you stay in your house. So asanas are very practical in the modern age. So physical asanas. So So you see, first you establish the goal, and then the similarities. And the similarities, it's very easy. It's actually very easy to introduce bhakti to these yoga students because we follow exactly the same principles. My whole Art of Chanting book is about bringing one from the stage, giving techniques for pratyahara and dharana. There's like 60 different techniques in the book. Which explain how to withdraw the mind from distraction. Distraction means no pratyahara. Distraction, inattention, or just distraction in japa means no pratyahara. We haven't withdrawn our interest or attraction from all the senses. The process of withdrawing. Oh, pull back the mind from wherever the mind wanders. Krishna tells Arjuna. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self, the Atma. This is in the Yoga chapter 5 or 6 of Yoga, of Bhagavad Gita. So that Krishna is telling there to Arjuna, you must practice pratyahara. You're a bhakti yoga, you must do pratyahara. It's right in Gita. From wherever... I forget the verse. I can't remember. Anyway, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So for the Gyan Yogi or for the yogi of your type, that's called pratyahara, to withdraw the energy and the manobritti, the waves and vibrations of the mind, withdraw them from all the senses and keep it fixed on the Atma, and keep it fixed on the Brahman, on the pure light, what light within you, or the white lotus, the Sahasra Padma Chakra in the head, the white lotus of enlightenment, or whatever, the Shiv Shakti union, or they have all different kind of meditations. The Lingam, they meditate on the Lingam, Shiv Lingam, as the oneness of so many things. So for us, that verse, that pratyahara means bring it back to the holy name. And that's why I'm saying my book is full of techniques of pratyahara and dharana, how to bring the wandering mind back to the holy name, which is the Paramatma, Supreme Self. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So that vibration, mantra, it's a mantra. It delivers the mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, and that's the goal of meditation is to be, the object of meditation, be absorbed in your ishta, which is Brahman for the yogis. And for us, it's Krishna. So Prabhupada says, that's why he said, we immediately enter the goal of meditation, we immediately enter samadhi as soon as we start chanting japa and fix our mind on Krishna. I'm a little housewife in Delhi and I sit down and actually fix Krishna in my mind. And I'm chanting his holy name. I'm in samadhi. With no asana, no asanas. Yama niyama, yes. Sitting on, just sitting on the couch is not an asan. I don't know what direction I'm facing, northeast, south, I don't know what. Clean or unclean or whatever. But this is the power of the nam. Instant pratyahara and instant dharana. And dhyan. So my book is all about that. So we have the dharana, we have the pratyahara, we have dharana and dhyan. Dhruvana smriti means astaka, means swarasiki. Dhruva, I don't you have to raise your hand. You're only 2 feet away from me. When there's something, when we say dhruv anusmriti, it means anusmriti, means smriti means remembering. Anu means moment to moment. Anusmriti, moment to moment. Very firm, dhruv, very firm and strong memory. Remembrance of Krishna moment to moment. So this is the equivalent of swarasiki upasana. Swarasiki upasana. Where one, this is the equivalent of bhava bhakti. We have prema bhakti and bhava bhakti. So this is the equivalent of bhava bhakti. And then samadhi is prema bhakti. So this is some ideas about yoga and bhakti.